The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
I like your pants around your feet.
DJ Cumberbund.
I like your pants around your feet. I like your pants around your feet.
The wrestling world lost a legend this week and is about to lose someone not quite as legendary, but not dead. I should clarify that.
I'm so confused.
We'll get to that in a second. It's Pro Wrestling Unscripted, August 31st, day before September, and I just want to say to all of the Pro Wrestling Unscripted fans out there and the Podzilla 1985 fans especially that you guys have made this our most listened to month in over 3 months. So, popping the numbers. We appreciate it. We got a bunch of new listeners coming in. I think part of that is from Cape Championship Wrestling because we are, you know, we talk about them on the show. I'm sure they're bringing it in. I'm sure Jesse does something on Nerd Up that people like. I don't know. That's not my forte. Wrestling is my position. So, that's what we're here to talk about. Pro Wrestling Unscripted with your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100. Let me get that on my tights. Asa Gray is down at the end of the table. He's the 5-star man who, Asa, we need to talk about taking our show back. At some point.
Make PWU great again?
Yes. No. Make Mr. 100 the 5-star man great again. Keep the Campbells away from it. The A-Bears.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, Allie A-Bears here too.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, making his grand return officially to Podzilla 1985 and to Pro Wrestling Unscripted, specifically, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Now, Dalton, before we get to the show.
The first thing he does is he nods. He does the head nod that no one can see.
Off to a good start.
Ace is glad to have you back.
I can tell.
Before we get on with the show, and we do have a lot of notes to run through here, we're going to talk about our experiences with Cape Championship Wrestling. We're going to talk about Randy Orton. We got Alberto Del Rio, Bo Dallas in some trouble, Allison Brie. I've always wanted to talk about Allison Brie on the show. Never had a reason to until now. But before we get to all of that, Dalton, as I understand it, you have prepared a statement that you want to read aloud to the Podzilla 1985 fans and for the Pro Wrestling Unscripted fans. I'm going to give you the floor. This is Dalton Anthony in his own words.
No one can hear you, Dalton.
Speak up, son.
My fellow Americans, I, Dalton Anthony, of my own volition, would like to apologize to the fans of Podzilla 1985 and Pro Wrestling Unscripted, specifically concerning my so-called retirement. I joined the cast of PWU to fill a spot left by the legendary Zach Price, and though I have tried my best to imitate his lack of wit, humor, class... knowledge, manners, tact, and personality, I realize I have come up short. Just like Hunter Hendricks.
John, you seem to be laughing at your own words.
I can't help it, I'm funny. Yes, Hunter, these are my own words, not Shannon's. I realized that whatever integrity was left on this show after Double H's exit, and to a much lesser extent, Zach's, was immediately murdered the moment I joined the cast. In the presence of entertainment gods like Shannon Young and Asa Gray, and also Allie is here, I have failed miserably, and my only saving grace was that I made them all look better by comparison. I know that Podzilla 1985 celebrated when I left the show under the blatant lie that I was done for good. I'm a terrible person, an awful entertainer, and at best, only slightly better than PZ85 sports show host Cody Sandusky, who I have never respected and would like to, who I have never respected and would like to fight in person very soon. I want to apologize to all of you for coming back. I beg for your forgiveness, like the groveling worm I am. And I ask that you all praise Shannon for his mercy and pity in bringing me back. Thank you all, and on with the show.
Oh, I got a tear in my eye. That was beautiful.
That was amazing.
That was beautifully written, Dalton.
Welcome back, sir.
Oh, God.
That's the funniest you've ever been.
I am good at writing speeches.
You were good. That's beautiful. Thank you, Dalton.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to be back.
And Cody, if you'd like to arrange this fight, email us. Make up your own thing at Podzilla 1985.
Somebody's going to get the ass kicked.
Somebody call his mama at Podzilla 1985.com. Okay, now that is out of the way, Dalton, hopefully we've mended some fences from some people that were upset that you came back so quickly after leaving.
I mean, it was slightly longer than whenever Mick Foley retired that one time.
That's true. Comparing yourself to Mick Foley. on with the show. First off, we're naming this segment, and we joked about it last week. Asa wrote it down this week and was at first too embarrassed to show it to me because he thought it was stupid. I like it. The 10 count. These are the 10 items you need to know that we're going to go over real quick. And then that's going to lead us into the main event of our bigger stories. It's wrestling. It's themed.
10 count's a thing in wrestling.
Yes. First note, Randy Orton. We talked in length last week about the horrible Randy Orton Brock Lesnar match at SummerSlam and the awful ending where Lesnar hit Randy Orton in the head with elbows so hard that it busted him open and could quite possibly have done actual damage. Well, it turns out that Randy Orton was told before the match that Brock Lesnar knew how to hit him in a way that would just graze him.
Open
him up a little.
Orton was told, like, okay, you're going to get a cut on your head. Lesnar's just going to graze you. It's going to look bad, but he's just going to graze you. That's not what happened.
What happened. And you could tell from the video when Lesnar threw two or three stiff elbows right to the head.
Yeah.
That grazing went out the window immediately. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, was it William Tell that put the apple on someone's head and shot it off?
Mm-hmm.
That, anytime you've ever seen that in popular media, that never goes right. Someone takes a bullet to the face.
Yeah. That America's Got Talent where the sword swallower got shot in the neck with a flaming arrow because his assistant missed.
That actually happened?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Maybe a couple months ago at this point.
Is he okay?
Hopefully.
Oh,
maybe.
Oh, God. What would you rather take, Dalton? I'm going to address this to you first. Would you rather take Lesnar's elbows to the head unprotected or a flaming arrow to the throat?
Lesnar's elbows to the head.
I don't know.
I'm going to pick option C.
Run?
Yeah, and just jump off something real tall. Like, nah.
I still think that the Orton-Lesnar ending was so ridiculous and should be illegal. I feel like there should be an investigation into this. I really do. I'm not just saying that to be controversial. I absolutely think that they should be held responsible for what they did that night. Mm-hmm. That is going far over the line.
They're way too lucky that Orton didn't get legitimately, like...
Yeah.
I mean... 10 staples to the head's like the best case scenario.
Right.
And they got it. So
imagine if he had actually suffered a concussion or brain damage of another kind or something broken, whatever.
Yeah.
He could have been killed. I know that sounds like, well, he just took an elbow to the face. They do that in UFC all the time. They do it in UFC in the sense that they're actively trying to block it.
Yeah.
Not, I'm going to do this, hold still, and let me make sure I just graze you.
And then I'm going to make sure to keep doing it even after in UFC. So when, you know, the referee calls the fight, and he's being attended to by medical personnel. If someone was then to try to throw away said medical personnel to keep elbowing you, that person would be fired and probably arrested.
Because it's assault.
Yeah.
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 And this is scripted assault, but is it not? It's not assault because he knew it was coming, but there has to be something.
Yeah, it's like watching those Jackass videos or like the break.com, like epic fails of the week, whatever, where it's like, yeah, okay, so you're going to punch your friend in the face as hard as you can. I mean, I guess that's legal because he's consenting to it, but why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens when something goes wrong?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm sure... No, I don't know if I want to say this.
And, like, honestly, because I even said last week, it's like, yeah, I'm 100% sure Lesnar knows how to open somebody up.
Yeah.
With two strikes.
Precision.
Precision, which I would never, never give him credit for in his UFC career because I watched his matches. But that doesn't make it okay. Like, what happened at SummerSlam was absolutely gross, and the way they're dealing with it post-SummerSlam is even grosser.
Oh, yeah. Well, post-SummerSlam, like...
We got that in the main event.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, because once you get past the ridiculousness of what happened, now you get into the...
The storyline follow-up is even worse.
The insulting of your intelligence as a wrestling fan, and poor Randy Orton, who I've never been a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dislike him actively, but I've just never really liked him. He didn't catch on.
See, and I always have.
I don't know what it was. He just never really caught on. I always liked the over-the-top personalities, like, you know, Hulk Hogan or John Cena.
The Coke-fueled.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. Like, I'm going to...
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
So a guy like Orton, who's very reserved and quiet and does most of his fighting in the ring and slithers around, he just never caught on.
So did you also not like Jake the Snake?
I
I don't mean that like antagonistically.
I'm trying to think of a legitimate answer because I guess when I was a kid back then, maybe to quote Louis from that episode that was so awful, I looked at it through rose-colored, you know, nostalgia glasses. Mm-hmm. I can look at Jake the Snake Robertson and go, no, I like Jake more, but I think that's just because I was a kid then.
Right.
If I was a kid now, I'm sure I would love Randy Orton.
Right.
But I think my years of being a wrestling fan has jaded me to that kind of quiet personality. I want bigger than life characters. Yeah.
I think the only time I've ever really liked Orton was whenever he was in as the Legend Killer or with Legacy. Those were the only two times I ever really liked him.
I like him now. Asa, you were absolutely right when you said that lately he's been showing a personality.
Yeah.
And I told you, I think it was really sad that he finally shows a personality so they can hand feed him to Brock Lesnar to destroy.
Yeah.
Ali, do you like Lesnar?
No. Do you like Orton?
I haven't seen much of him because didn't I kind of start watching before?
Oh, yeah, when he got injured.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because he was gone for 9 months.
Oh, God. He was gone forever. I didn't think he was coming back, honestly. He was gone so long. I forgot he was gone. He was gone so long. Mm-hmm. So that's real bad. Speaking of being gone, because we're going to get back to that in the main event. Speaking of being gone, Alberto Del Rio, more or less done.
Yeah.
With
he apparently, even before the 30-day suspension, he
back in July, from what I understand.
Yeah, he opted out. He gave a 60-day like opt-out.
Yeah.
So by the end of September, he will be back on the independent scene. So
apparently,
he's not even coming back after the 30-day suspension is up.
From what I understand, he can work internationally already.
Yeah.
He can work outside of the U.S., but he can't work in the U.S. till the end of September. Mm-hmm. The big rumor is that TNA is going to throw money at him to try to bring him over. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes for TNA, no for him. Because their main event is already kind of bloated, especially with the addition of Aaron Rex.
Yeah.
Damian Sandow. So it's... Especially because this all stems from WWE not following through with promises.
Yeah.
When they were sweet-talking him away from Lucha Underground and AAA, CMLL, whichever one he was working for, they said, okay, you're going to get a main event push. You're going to be a big deal. And then he came in and started the Mex America, and then went
which was just awful.
And then almost went straight into, and then did go straight into League of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So he beat Cena
clean.
For the U.S. title clean. And then immediately after that, just dropped off. And I completely understand Del Rio's stance. Like I'm not faulting him at all for leaving.
Well, and again, this is just the rumor, Ben. This is the rumor mill.
Mm-hmm.
But the word is that Triple H is the one that put a stop to his push. Because he felt that Del Rio was a bad example for other wrestlers. And from what I read, quote unquote, bad for Paige. That he was a bad example for her, that he partied too much, that he was bringing her into stuff that she shouldn't be involved with, which she did get suspended the same day as Alberto Del Rio. Now, of course, we don't want to just throw rumors out
right,
there and tell them it's fact.
Speculation.
This is speculation.
Yeah.
Ali, I know I go to you whenever it comes to like life issues because you've always been smarter than me. If it is true that Alberto Del Rio was quote unquote bringing Paige into things that she didn't need to be brought into. Is it his responsibility to take care of her, or she should be responsible for herself?
I mean, she should be responsible for herself, obviously, but there is so much that goes into how people react with each other. There's so much with the mind of manipulation or giving into things because of peer pressure.
Because he is, how old is Alberto Del Rio?
Oh, I just had Wikipedia.
He's like 35, 36, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's like upper 30s.
And she's what, 21, 22?
She just turned 24 in like a week ago.
So when you have a guy that's
older. Because it was her birthday, she got suspended.
It's easier to manipulate someone younger because
Del Rio's 39.
It's kind of a bit. But
yeah,
he's 39?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 39.
I didn't know
he was that old. Yeah, I was going to say, I knew he was up there.
Yeah.
Like farther up there than
most. Because he went into wrestling later.
Yeah, because he was an MMA fighter for a while. I actually saw the match where he fought, oh, God. Cody's going to kill me. Was it?
Lashley?
No. It started with a K, I think, or a V.
I'm on the Wikipedia page.
He was a really good fighter. And
he was legit.
I'm kicking myself that I can't remember the guy's name. Dalton, hurry up.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get there.
All right, while you're looking
this is entertaining. Listen to three people try to think of a thing.
So Alberto Del Rio being gone, is he a big loss?
He could have been. But the way they used him, no.
When he came back and beat John Cena, I thought he was made.
He fought Krokop.
Krokop. Mirko Krokop. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I remember that match because they did an interview with him. He wore a mask.
Yeah.
And I think his name was Don Karras Jr.
Yep.
Is what he fought
Karras Jr.
Yeah. And he was, you know, talking about this and that. And then he goes out there and Krokop just destroys him. But that's not to say that Del Rio's bad. Krokop's just really good.
Yeah.
And at that time, he's an amazing kickboxer. He lost it by head kick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he does better at wrestling.
No, I've always liked Del Rio, but he's very much like Orton, where, because I've always liked Orton, but it's, you can tell when he's bored.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever he cared, which happened to be whenever he was like
on top.
Yeah, when he was set to win the championship. And,
like Brock Lesnar, before he left, where he was happy when he was on top, but then when they pushed him down, he didn't want to do the schedule anymore.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this could absolutely have been a huge loss for WWE, but the way that they handled him, no. And that, which it's sad because he's such a talent that.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to do anything for Paige? Good or bad? Will she A, clean up her act if that is the case, speculation, or B, that she will follow suit pretty soon? Because from reading her tweets,
she's still got so far this. Yeah, but she's got like 3 years left on her contract.
She could quit. She could quit and just not compete.
But that could screw with her being able to compete under other organizations.
Well, she couldn't.
Especially, like, or even her visa.
See, I never thought about that.
So it would be a terrible.
I always forget that she's from England.
Yeah.
That she's a Brit. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that and keep you updated on it. Mm-hmm. The Miz rant, our favorite moment of last week.
Yeah.
Wrestling wise, I think, was The Miz on Talking Smack. And again, if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. It's worth checking out. It's worth watching again.
If you watch Hulu if you watch SmackDown this week, it's the opening thing on SmackDown.
And thank God, because I was so worried that they were going to keep this to Talking Smack and that a lot of people wouldn't see it because they don't have the network, which you should have the network. By the way, if you don't have the network and you're a wrestling fan, you need the network. As much trash as we talk about WWE, there was so much content and old pay-per-views on that, you'll never get bored.
Yeah. The CWC.
Yeah. The things they're doing now is just incredible.
NXT, it's all.
And you can not see SmackDown on it, but you can see this rant because it was on Talking Smack, and it was fantastic. And Asa, you wrote down that it has over 1.6 million hits on YouTube.
Yep.
That's staggering.
Yeah, it got like 1.2 million after like 4 days. And then when because that post was older when I saw it originally, so I pulled it up on YouTube. And it was already, and it was at over 1.6 million.
That's word of mouth is what that is.
Yeah. That's all that got mainstream attention.
It did.
There was Forbes is basically just a glorified blog post at this point. At least the website is, but it was on Forbes. The Washington Post had a story on it. Like
Facebook trending.
Yeah.
When I logged in, it was on there. It was big and it deserves to be big because it really was that good.
Yeah.
That's one of those career defining promos, much like CM Punk with the pipe bomb. Mm-hmm. Or whatever the hell the Ultimate Warrior was saying.
Part of me kind of liked the way that they followed up
with it. Something about rocket fuel.
Because they did, they followed up with it on SmackDown, where Shane and Daniel Bryan, he's like, you should apologize to Miz, but didn't. And then Miz came out and kind of called him out for it, and then Ziggler responded, which sets up that's the feud because Daniel Bryan clearly can't wrestle.
And Ziggler needs another title to not win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, the last time
good for him.
Day 148 of the never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour.
It's good they ran with
that line. Oh, that line is so good.
What was your favorite line from that?
That, honestly.
Was the tour thing?
Yeah.
Because that was it wasn't mean. Because it's a very uncomfortable watch.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Like, even, you know, if in a couple months it comes forward, oh no, it was full work. Everyone knew everything that was about to get said. Like, that's fine. It's still going to be like, man, that just hits a little too close to home.
It was the verbal equivalent of Lesnar hitting you in the forehead, knowing that he's going to hit you in the forehead.
Yeah. But so whenever, after Daniel Bryan walked off the stage and Miz put that camera right here, put it on my face, that this is day 141 of the never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour. That line is just, like, I want him to beat the Honky Tonk Man's record. I don't want The Miz to lose that championship ever.
The one that sent chills down my spine in a good way was when he said, I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone. Mm-hmm. Because the look on his face, I truly believe he meant that.
100%.
That he was speaking from the heart. The one that made me uncomfortable, and I think is the best line, was when he said, you love wrestling so much. You love being in that wrestling ring. Quit. Go to the bingo halls with your indie friends. And Daniel Bryan walked off at that point.
Yeah.
And it felt too real. It's still real to me, Dan.
So uncomfortable to see.
Yeah.
What about you, Dalton?
I'm still on the fence about it just because, I didn't like it because it's one of those things that's just like, if Daniel Bryan didn't know that that was happening, everybody to the principal's office.
Yeah, real messed up. That's real messed up to throw out there if you didn't know it was coming.
And it's also one of those things like with The Miz, and this is what I was trying to think. I don't like The Miz saying it because he's the same one that does those movies.
That takes a huge chunk of time off every year.
Yeah, like,
not only that,
but right after he won the belt, he was gone for like weeks on end.
Also,
the Intercontinental Champion that you're trying to make prestigious, you're not at the show to defend.
Also,
but then you're going to say that Daniel Bryan,
You know me. I've got a problem with whenever they try to push reality in wrestling, whenever they pull the curtain back and go, it's one of those things of like, yeah, I know this is all fake, but that's real.
Yeah.
WCW did a lot. Yeah. You know, especially during its later years. And whenever they do that, when you have a guy like The Miz, who is a heel, is still a heel. CM Punk turned face when he laid a pipe bomb down. CM Punk had a whole different thing. But Miz, who is a heel, is now talking about, I love the fans, I love everybody, but is still trying to be a heel. That is not a heel thing to say. That is too much of an exposure of the soft style, the business, and stuff like that. For I feel like some fans that are watching who are casual fans, especially the kids who are watching who don't know wrestling's fake still, they're very confused by this. And they're wondering, what does The Miz mean?
I think he at least followed it up with, but they don't appreciate me.
But did he do that during that rant, or was it on SmackDown?
No, he did it during that rant too. Like briefly. Like, it wasn't a huge staple of it, but I'm pretty sure, like,
I know towards the end he did, but during that moment, I think he just said, I love everybody, I love all the fans, I'm here, leave.
But he at least still tied it in. Like, maybe not at that moment, but towards the end of the rant, he at least then, well, they don't appreciate me, that's why.
I can't help but wonder how much of that was ad-libbed.
Wouldn't
you love to be a fly on the wall at that moment?
Oh,
100%. Well, they did it on SmackDown. They talked about it, and hopefully this leads to something good for The Miz.
Yeah. Really, I mean, it already kind of is.
Dude's always been spectacular.
The big speculation.
Well, not always.
Not
that first time when he came out with the hat on and.
Yeah, the host of SmackDown.
The host of SmackDown, just coming fresh from MTV. He was on The Real World.
Him and Morrison.
The Dirt Sheet.
That was the start. Okay, Miz is actually super awesome.
And then when he defended the title against Cena at Mania.
Which I was there for.
BS ending. And they really didn't put as much of emphasis. But his whole intro when they played Nas.
That was so good.
It was so good. They hyped it so well. And Miz was legit.
That's still actually one of my favorite video packages.
Do you remember when he lost it? When he lost the momentum? I still remember. It was during a tag match on Raw. And R-Truth came off the top and Miz was supposed to catch him and didn't. And gotten a lot of trouble for that.
Wasn't that the Survivor Series thing?
Maybe it was Survivor Series.
Where it was him and R-Truth versus Rock and Cena?
No, because I think Truth, I don't know.
I think it was Survivor Series of 2012?
I'd say fans or Kodu. Which one of you knows, let me know.
Kodu.
Because I'm curious about that.
Kodu, please.
Kodu, please. We tell Cody today, because Cody was worried that I was upset with him. And because I said Cody, please, after he said something. I was like, anytime there's a Cody please after a statement, that means it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was a bit. It was a bit. What was definitely not a bit, and Asa, you're going to have to fill me in on this one because I did not hear about this.
Well, jumping back real quick, because the big speculation now is that because ideally this would lead to Daniel Bryan versus The Miz.
That is the best pad. That's the best.
Clearly, it's not going to happen.
It could.
Not going to happen.
From what I understand, the only reason they're not letting Daniel Bryan wrestle is because they have lawsuits against them right now due to injuries. And to put a guy out there who is not 100% could look bad on the company. But much like, you know, pushing big guys whenever the steroid trial happened, and then they started pushing Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, people like that.
Who were coked up,
but small. That's the important thing. I think once these lawsuits go, I think they will give Daniel Bryan another shot at wrestling.
I think he
wants it.
That promo that he cut, that retirement speech, I just don't see it.
Well, thank God he didn't go to TNA.
No, yeah.
I mean that.
He didn't go like Ric Flair.
He didn't go Ric Flair and go and lose a retirement match, have a great moment.
Right.
And then go down to TNA and bleed yourself like a stuck pig for no reason.
But so the big thing is that,
over here?
I don't know. So the big rumor or the thing that the internet speculation is that Daniel Bryan is going to find, so he's like, well, I can't fight you, but he can. And that is the running thing is that's how they're going to bring up Samoa Joe. Which would be awesome.
Indie guys.
But my preference would be Daniel Bryan is accusing Miz of working a soft style. He's a coward. He doesn't want to get hit in the face. So he wrestles a soft style.
Yeah.
Who
would be a great person to counter a soft style type of wrestling?
Like a hard style?
Yeah.
No, not a hard style. Like more of a.
Like if you had some sort of royalty about like a, some sort of
like a prince?
A king of strong style.
Strong style.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of soft.
No. Not really.
But that's
what I would want to see.
I feel like King of Hard Style would be more like Joey Ryan.
I was going to say Sexy Sarge.
Sexy Sarge!
We'll get there.
Asa Gray sporting the Sexy Sarge t-shirt tonight, by the way.
Sexy Sarge shirt.
I'm pretty sure that's just the most basic woman silhouette art you can find on the internet. And there's some stars there too for some reason.
Photoshop.
And a
king.
Banner.
King of Photoshop
style. God. Poor Sarge.
Tell me about Bo Dallas, Asa.
So yeah, so I think it was, I just had this pulled up too. It was the Dallas Fort Worth Airport. That's not the.
And that, that airport's named after him.
It's like, don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am? I run this airport.
My name's on the sign. Yeah, the Dallas Fort Worth Airport on Friday. Apparently there was a flight delay. So there's like a sports reporter whose wife was in the airport with them. Like not with them, but at the same time. So there was a flight delay, which led to them kind of hanging out at an airport restaurant.
Right.
When she was on the phone, like, oh, hey, there's some wrestlers here. Let's see, hanging out at the airport restaurant. He could hear Bo Dallas singing a song from The Lion King in the background as they were leaving to board. And apparently he was actually not allowed on that flight.
That's got to look real bad for WWE if that comes out.
Well, it's out.
I want Bo Dallas' squeaky voice singing, ha, got ma.
He also was supposed
ha
to...
Ha, got ma. Which song was that?
That's the opening song.
Apparently the house show the next day, he was supposed to wrestle. He was supposed to team up with Curtis Axel. To face the Usos.
Are they still a thing?
But that turned into Curtis Axel versus one Uso because Bo Dallas wasn't at the show.
I legitimately am wondering, is that still a group? What were they called?
The Social Outcasts.
The Social Outcasts.
No, because instead of, because the brand
extension
split is stupid, they drafted Bo Dallas and then the next like round or two later, they also drafted Curtis Axel separately as opposed to just taking all three a group, including Heath Slater, in just one pick.
Okay. I'm ignoring the fact that he said Heath Slater.
Oh, yeah. Heath Slater. who's now teaming with Rhino.
Was the Social Outcast, the tag team that decided they were going to go in singly? Like, they weren't going to be...
That was the Lucha Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, no, the Social Outcast were like...
They were still together. That's the group Adam Rose was in.
Yeah.
And I remember. I just remember.
Ragtag group of misfits. But we'll say it did lead to Heath Slater having something to do.
Not
just go out there and...
Hottest free agent in pro wrestling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That angle is working for him. And
so
Asa, I want to give you a chance, because you didn't write this down. I want to give you a chance to tell me how you felt about that Talking Smack segment with Heath Slater and Rhino.
So good. Like, Heath Slater's actually like one of my favorites now.
Yeah, and Rhino too, who just sat
Both
there uncomfortably
them.
The entire time.
Who was just like, no, I see some promise in the kid. I like him.
So hilarious.
He's the prettiest.
It's like, well, what's a tag
Beauty
team
and the
name?
Man Beast.
Yeah. Which is an amazing name. I'm the beauty. He's the man beast. And then Slater's like, yeah, all right. Because Slater is just oozing charisma. He's having so much fun. Like, this guy is living his dream. And
ignoring the fact that they did the terrible thing with, oh, he's got a fat Southern hick wife.
Yeah, I do.
Live in a trailer.
I'm not a huge fan of the fact that they made him a redneck who thinks he's a rock star, and now he's just a redneck.
Yeah.
But there was someone on Reddit a week or so ago, and this could all be untrue, but like they ran into Slater on Bourbon Street. And kind of hung out with him for a little bit. And he's just like, yeah, he's not in it for championships. He doesn't want to go down as like the greatest of all time. He just genuinely loves being able to entertain the fans.
Hmm.
Like the idea for him to get beat up by all those legends was his idea. He went to Vince. He's like, hey, so you know how Randy Orton was the legend killer? What if I did the opposite of that? You just bring in a bunch of different legends. They kick my ass week after week. Yeah, that Vince loved it. And
that thinking is like a staple of the indie scene. Of, yeah, we don't get paid for it. We're not going to change the world. We just love wrestling.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that at the main event. Yep. That's the big one. Ryback offered a 3-year, $1.5 million deal to quote unquote squash AJ at Mania. I also read about this. I doubt the validity of this statement.
See, this was, well, okay. So here's the way that I perceive it. Cause Ryback did an interview or a statement saying that WWE offered him a 3-year contract, $1.5 million, and something that Vince said, this wasn't Ryback actually saying it. This is what Vince said. And you're going to squash that pipsqueak AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Now, that definitely sounds like something that Vince would say.
But for Ryback?
Even if he didn't mean it. Like, if he's just saying that because he wants Ryback to sign a contract.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that story that broke that he was going to be a low-card guy when they first signed him.
Then maybe this could all tie in together. And
yeah.
That originally they brought AJ in to get squashed by Ryback.
And remember, AJ did lose at WrestleMania.
To Jericho, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I hated that match. Hated that finish.
The match was good. The decision. The decision was
to have a
silly.
Guy like AJ Styles lose his first Mania match to Jericho, who lost to Fandango at Mania.
Yep.
ridiculous. It's like they expect you to not have a memory that goes further than last year. It's like every time they bring out a new Madden game, you forget they had a Madden game last year. No, it doesn't work that way. My memory stands, and I remember Fandango beating Jericho, but AJ Styles couldn't.
Yeah. Dummy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm on Ryback's side. You guys know I defended Ryback when no one else would.
You like Ryback. I don't doubt the validity of that claim, because that kind of seems like kind of a standard WWE deal for a bigger name. But the AJ comment is what's newsworthy. Because again, I don't think that's Ryback saying that. I think that's very much a Vince line that he gave him.
Dalton, I'm going to ask you this.
Yo.
Who do you see as more of a money player in the future of wrestling? Ryback or AJ Styles?
In the future?
Yeah. Who's going to mean more to the business when all is said and done?
AJ Styles.
I think you're right.
Oh, 100%. You think?
He's the face that runs the place.
I know. I saw all the tweets.
You know how many people, like, in the future, like 20 years down the road, are going to say, oh, I was inspired by Styles, Daniels, Joe, Triple Threat? Nobody's going to say, oh, I was really inspired by Henry and Ryback at WrestleMania 27.
That's not true. I know a couple of guys, gym monkeys, that love to go work out all the time, that see a guy like Ryback and just start. They open up that factory again.
Yeah. And by factory, you mean steroids.
No, that's not what I meant, but let's keep it that way. Whatever. If he would have beat AJ Styles at Mania, I probably would have stopped watching wrestling.
Yeah, I would have been disgusted.
That's one of those matches that I get so furious
absolutely
about.
Absolutely disgusted. And instead, he lost to Kalisto on the pre-show.
Yay, progress.
Where he belongs.
In a good match.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing with Ryback, and I've said it 1,000 times, is for a big guy, he's got a good look, and he's not awful.
Yeah.
And he does show signs of personality whenever he speaks, like, not on camera, per se, but when he's filming in his car driving toward his steroid factory that Dalton says he owns, Dalton Anthony.
It's called Feed Me
this
More Nutrition.
This is his address. You're welcome to stop by and have a word with him.
Wonderful speech earlier. We'll film it, and we'll do it in a Final Deletion style. Speaking of which,
hey.
Look at that segue there. We're going to ride it all the way to the bank.
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, like whenever the set, because the TNA tapings are still a ways behind. But yeah, they're officially really building towards that AJ Styles.
On your brain.
Hardy Boys, Decay, which will end up in a Final Deletion 2.
Dalton is wiping his face.
Why? Why do they need to do a second one?
See, and this is like
the same reason they did Taken 2 and 3.
Yeah. Because this past week on TNA, it's
ratings.
Brother Nero is not quite completely broken, because he tried to go to the top rope for a move against Abyss, but missed and lost the match. So Matt Hardy kind of like, you're not going to cost us this championship by, which it's weird because like he's still super heelish, but they're the faces in this feud because the Decay is too weird and like.
Well, plus it's
violent to really be cheered, I think.
And Matt Hardy's act is so good, that people are going to
cheer
him.
You can't help but cheer him.
Yeah.
So, you guys listen to the Talk is Jericho?
No, I can't do an hour of that character.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it was entertaining. I was entertained by it.
Dude's living the gimmick. You can't deny that. He's got that old school mentality of, this is my gimmick and I'm going to run it into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Hardy, God bless you, boy.
The only thing that I hope they don't do is I hope they don't make the actual match the Final Deletion, because that was the worst part of the Final Deletion.
Yeah.
Was the terrible match. And
you know they will, though. And it's going to be even more. They said that the budget's going to be bigger.
Yeah.
It's going to be more over the top.
It's going to be up to $50. Senior Benjamin is going to, like, he's got his own dressing room now.
He's got hydraulic legs.
Especially with it. But the main reason is because it's a championship match. I just think
you don't want to see a championship match defended in a pre-taped, heavily edited, over the top B movie.
Yeah.
No, that's a good idea. That's why we should do a second one.
And a third. Final Deletion, get Tony Todd in there.
It's gonna go full Sharknado. This is TNA Sharknado.
Oh God.
So they're gonna get Seth Rollins?
Ooh. They can't afford him.
Yeah, no. They definitely can't.
I think actually at...
That's why I don't think Del Rio's going to TNA. It's like he was turning down WWE money. I don't think TNA's going to be able to match that.
Plus, I think the last time I saw Sharknado outside the theater, there was a big sign that said, these people are not allowed to the theater, and Seth Rollins was on that list.
Of course.
He doesn't understand why.
No.
I mean, he was in the movie.
It's okay.
It's a joke.
It's okay.
I get it.
He's also not allowed here at 709 Broadway for...
Oh, yeah. Seth Rollins is banned from the store. Xavier Woods, if you're listening, and I know you're not, tell Seth Rollins
he's
no
personal
longer.
Friend. He's totally listening.
Close personal friend. We played. All right, true
Love
or false?
You, Creed.
Let's test our friendship levels with Xavier Woods. I'm going to ask you some questions. You say yes or no.
All right.
Did we hang out with Xavier Woods?
We did.
Did we talk personally with him?
We did.
Did we play PS4 with him?
We did.
End of story.
And he's following me on Twitter.
Good friends all around. You can't prove otherwise. Hey, guess who's coming to Netflix? Glow. Yes, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. All right, Allie, let me break this down for you.
Okay.
So there was a thing in the 80s called Glow. It was basically WWE, but all women. It was all women's wrestling. It was also really, really campy, like Final Deletion, not Final Deletion style, but definitely in that same
but
realm
it was an
camp.
But it was an 80s show. So
you expect camp.
Yeah.
I mean, God, if you could, all right, if you were alive when I was alive and we watched that old wrestling together, you would know camp. Camp WWE ain't got nothing on the 80s. Well, they got... Oh, I hated that joke. Netflix is doing a show about Glow, but it's not Glow. Like, it's not actually wrestling. It's actually a scripted weekly comedic show, I'm assuming. Or not weekly, because they release all their shows.
Yeah, Netflix would all be launched at once.
It's kind of like The Office, but for wrestling, from what I understand. It's
See,
like a
I'm
behind
not familiar
the
with the original. I'm not familiar with the original. Glow.
It was a wrestling.
It was wrestling, but they had pre-taped bits, like you know, vignettes.
It's not like Lucha Underground, it's not a wrestling show.
This is a show with wrestling in it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be more of following the characters and their lives. It's kind of like the Muppet Show. This is the Muppet Show, and Miss Piggy's talk show is the wrestling.
Yeah.
So it will probably be very entertaining, and I want to watch it with you.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Alison Brie is going to star in it.
Yes.
So that's probably the reason you don't want to watch it with me, because I will probably salivate at some point.
She's
I'm
so
salivating
good.
Now just thinking about her.
She's
I
so
will
good.
Just cuddle my kitty.
Oh. Anyway.
Moving on. SportsCenter.
SportsCenter. All right. Cedric Alexander,
Tommaso
Ciampa, Johnny Gargano are going to Raw.
Yeah. They got those were three more names. Added to the cruiserweight division.
Really, the only surprising one on this is Cedric Alexander. Because you knew Ciampa and Gargano, already under WWE
NXT.
Contract,
yeah,
would go to the main roster
Which
at some
apparently
point.
Their final indie dates are coming up fairly soon, like in the next month or so. I would assume by the time that they're on Raw.
I'm still thinking, if they push this cruiserweight division completely separately from the main...
If they did like what they did on Nitro and the first hour is the Cruiserweight division.
Before the NWO
came in. Or the first
like
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they devote the time to it and let these guys go out there and wrestle and develop characters. The Cruiserweight division could be the reason
That's
to watch
That's the important
wrestling.
Part is if they are able to do their own characters, because I don't want to see the TNA X division where literally on Impact, Eli Drake did his... I can't remember the name of his show. The talking segment he does. And he brought out the X division superstars and they were all just out together. As the X division. Like, they didn't have, like, unique individual identities. It's just, oh, we're the X division. And I don't want to see the Cruiserweight turn into that.
Absolutely not. And Nitro did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, where eventually, like, you had guys like Eddie Guerrero, obviously, and you
and
had
Chris
Rey Mysterio.
Jericho and Rey Mysterio.
And Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
But then you also had guys like El Dandy, Silver King.
Who are you to question El Dandy?
I loved El Dandy. I love Silver King. But can you tell me anything about them?
Bret Hart
other than their
likes,
ethnicity.
Bret Hart likes El Dandy.
Who doesn't? There were some great guys in there, but they got to a point where they were just like, here's some more Mexicans. Enjoy.
That really was what they were trying to do.
It was.
It was not good.
Like, it wasn't even, I can't, the only Japanese wrestler I can remember on there was Ultimo Dragon. And Ultimo Dragon wasn't really in the Cruiserweight division as far as I can remember. Maybe he was.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
Liger
was in there.
They had the thing with
Chono. Masahiro Chono?
No, you're
but he wasn't Cruiserweight. He was NWO.
You're forgetting about the fact that they had that talent swap for a lot of the pay-per-views where it was
New Japan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they brought a lot of guys in from Mexico thanks to Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so Conan.
Okay.
What's next?
Shannon's broken.
I just potty pooled. Hey, Dalton.
I get that joke.
Yo.
Dalton.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Amin Elassane?
Amin Elassane. No.
Let's talk about him just briefly.
Oh, no. I don't want to.
Well, you're going to have to. So, Allie, here's what happened. Something on Twitter for the win. I don't know what that is. Just something. A handle. They posted a picture of Kevin Owens' son. And it said, 8-year-old son of Kevin Owens was so overwhelmed about his dad winning the title belt. And then Amin Elassan, who apparently worked for ESPN.
He does. He's like he works for like I honestly have no idea who he is. I know he does NBA.
Yeah.
And I think he's currently working with ESPN given Coach's reaction.
And I know he's a piece of trash.
I think we all know
he's
a piece of trash.
Yeah, we're all aware of that.
Because here's what he posted. He posted, until someone told him it was scripted. Which is bad enough in itself, right? Like, here's this 8-year-old kid whose dad won the title in one of the biggest, you know, attractions in the world. Everybody can talk smack about WWE all they want, but WWE is one of the biggest entertainment pinnacles in the entertainment industry. They really are. Not only is that bad, but his son is autistic. And when someone pointed out that his son was autistic, the dude didn't back away. He didn't go, I'm sorry.
He just doubled down on
doucheness. He doubled down on it. Yeah. And I've already lost all of the really bad comments that he said. So if you want to look it up, feel free. Go ahead. I don't want to read all of them. But there was one in particular that I remember where someone said, dude, he's autistic. And his reply was, who, the kid or the dad?
Yeah.
The kid. Oh, well, most 8-year-olds think it's scripted anyway. Like, the total douchebag.
Like, Leonardo DiCaprio won his Oscar. But, I mean, the movie he was in was fake, so.
If we could bring back the MF-er of the week.
Oh, yeah.
It would be him, by far.
100%.
And then the coach, Jonathan Coachman, who does work with ESPN.
And worked for such a long time in WWE, is close friends with many people in the WWE, including The Rock.
Drink it in, coach. Drink it in.
Coach tweeted at him, I really thought you were better. Been jaded too long filling in on Le Batard Show. I don't know what that is. Can't appreciate real emotion. And then also tweeted, I agree and we'll handle it. You know what they say. Those who can do, those who can't criticize, KO is special. Which is absolutely true, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this is the point I wanted to make on it. It's funny that in the year 2016, when wrestling has absolutely been, you know, promoted as a scripted event, as a fake thing, that it's entertainment, that the number one thing people will still throw at you is, it's fake. Nothing you do in there matters because it's all fake. And it's ridiculous. And especially to attack a guy's son.
Yeah.
Especially an autistic son.
A child who sees his dad accomplish something, even if, you know, even if the accomplishment isn't, because pro wrestling's so weird that, yeah, it's scripted, but still it's insane to not imply that he didn't work hard and he isn't earning something.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just.
Also, I want to point out to the guy who's dogging him because it's fake and all that. I never heard of Amin Elassan.
I hope we're saying his name wrong. I hope we are butchering that name.
I'm sure we are.
And I'm sure more people know who Kevin Owens is than this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure more people remember Kevin Owens than this guy. So it's one of those things that, like, when Lindsay and Stephanie, we go to conventions and they'd want to see these voice actors from these anime, or even when you guys went and saw, you know, Danny Sexbane and Game Grumps and stuff like that.
That wasn't me, but okay. I know what you're talking about.
Did you not go to that?
I didn't go to RTX.
That was when they went to RTX. Yeah. I didn't know who they were. So it's one of those things that you think you're a big star, and you are in some circles, and in some circles you're not.
Mm-hmm.
To insult a wrestling guy to wrestling fans, that's a mistake, because those fans are really passionate, and they're going
to
come back at
you. And to be fair, it's not like he went to like a wrestling forum and did this. It was just his Twitter that happens to be followed by people other than his.
Well, it's an unnecessary shot.
No, yeah.
It's absolutely, it is completely unnecessary.
Just
trying to take the steam out of somebody you have nothing to do with.
It's not like someone sent him that picture.
Right.
He just sees it and.
Yeah.
It's not like Kevin Owens said something about him.
Yeah.
And then he felt the need to respond.
Someone's like, oh, they should just, you know, meet in a locker room and see what nature takes its course. And then someone on Reddit's response was, oh, Owens would sports entertain the shit out of him.
And we can only pray to God he does. One last thing, and this one's kind of tragic. This is what I alluded to at the beginning of the show. Mr. Fuji passed away over the weekend. And I want to start this off by saying that there are some things that Mr. Fuji may or may not have done off camera that are absolutely terrible, if true. One, we don't know they're true.
They are unconfirmed.
They're unconfirmed.
But the number of people who substantiate them kind of makes that seem iffy. What?
He also blinded Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10.
Okay, that was on the show, buddy.
What?
Wrestling's... never mind. You've got it. You've got it, right? We'll make it. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So looking away from the awful things that Mr. Fuji may or may not have done, let's look at this strictly from a what he did for wrestling type thing. Mr. Fuji was one of the best managers in wrestling history. You can't take that away from him. He's legendary. People know who Mr. Fuji is. There is a handful of managers that any wrestling fan knows if you show him a picture. Mr. Fuji, Bobby Heenan, Jimmy Hart,
Paul Bearer,
Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. There are certain guys that are absolutely legendary. What are you shaking your head no at?
Lou Albano?
I was getting to it. I can't
He's
name
not gonna
all
name
of them.
All of the managers.
Yeah, Freddie Blassie, that's all.
Alphabetical order. Yeah, that was it.
About to say, we got those two.
But Mr. Fuji was awesome, and he was one of my favorites. I just want to share a quick memory of one of the best things in wrestling history. If you do nothing else this week, and you probably won't, go watch this on YouTube. Look up Fuji Vice. So, Allie, what happened is, this is revolutionary for the time. Mr. Fuji and the magnificent Don Morocco, they were teamed up. Don Morocco is this big guy with the personality of a stick. And they put him with Mr. Fuji and put them in these over-the-top B-movie like 30 minute long.
Miami Vice parody.
Yeah, and
episode.
This was like 30 minutes. This wasn't like a 5 minute skit. This was like, this was a legitimate episode of a TV show. And they were detectives trying to solve a cocaine murder on WWF TV in the 80s.
Which it's funny that Mr. Fuji would be trying to solve a murder.
Careful. But it's good. Go watch it. Mr. Fuji was so awesome and Don Morocco was awesome. It's one of the best things wrestling's ever done. And whether or not the man was awful in real life and did some awful things, Mr. Fuji, the character, in terms of wrestling legacy, has definitely left his mark on the industry. And I'm sad that he passed away.
Yeah, no, it's always sad when someone passes away, but not to skim over. Because, yes, he was always a notorious prankster.
He did awful things.
Which included peeing on Lex Luger's boot in the middle of a restaurant because he was kind of a... He kind of was standoffish to the rest of the locker room when he first came in. Canceling people's flights. that hilarious prank when he'd overhear them making their bookings, and then so they would lose out on bookings and money because they couldn't make it to the event.
And it's terrible, but it is funny.
Tanaka was at a time where you could only really have, in the territories where you could only really have, well, you can have one black guy. You can have one Japanese guy.
What did you say, Tanaka or Tatanka?
Tanaka.
Okay. Tanaka.
I don't know if I'm saying that name right. I might be getting the name wrong. They were both in the same territory, and Mr. Fuji found out that this other man was going behind his back and going to the office and trying to get him to replace Mr. Fuji in these bookings. So Fuji finds out, and this is all according to Roddy Piper in, like a Road Stories type, book. So he invited him and his family over to dinner. And he's like, we'll make spaghetti. We're going to have spaghetti. Let's go. So come on over. He comes in. He presents him with me. He's like, oh, you know, I'm not feeling well. You go ahead and eat though. You all enjoy. He then reveals that he has killed their dog and fed it to them in the spaghetti. So
bone app to teeth.
Yeah.
But this is from Roddy Piper.
This is from Piper.
Piper is the same guy who talked about how he talked to the ghost of his hero. And, that's what set his life back on track.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I saw him on, Celebrity Ghost Stories, and he was talking about, I think it was Adrian Adonis, who after he passed away and Piper was heading down a dark path, he actually saw his ghost, and the ghost is what saved his life. I believe in ghosts. And even I have problems believing that adorable Adrian Adonis.
I bet that ghost looked like an Adonis.
Also covering murders.
Yeah, him is apparently one of the people who cleaned up the scene of Jimmy Snuka when his girlfriend mysteriously died.
Allegedly.
Oh yeah, no. This is all allegedly. Yeah. It's just, but a lot of these things, like him pissing on Lex Luger's boots and canceling flights and ruining rental cars, ruining people's bags, like that's confirmed. Like,
but when you get down to murder and animal torture, we have to mention that these are stories.
That's allegedly, but it's...
Again, I am pointing this out, just like I defended Hulk Hogan during the racist rant. I love Hulk Hogan, the character. Mm-hmm. I love Hulk Hogan as the guy with the big muscles who ripped his shirt off and told me to eat my prayers and say my vitamins.
Right.
I like Mr. Fuji. Yeah, I know. I like Mr. Fuji as that evil Japanese guy.
Throwing salt in people's eyes.
Because
that was always
awesome. Yeah. He was great. And rest in peace, Mr. Fuji. Yeah. That's all I'll say about that. One more thing before we get to, well, I guess two more things before we get to the thing we really want to talk about. It's important to mention that on Raw, I can't believe we waited this long to say it, and I didn't mention at the top of the hour. That's my fault. Kevin Owens is your new champion. He's the Universal Champion.
Which, breaking news, actually, Kevin Owens has now officially set the record. He is the longest reigning WWE Universal Champion.
Doubled the time of the previous guy.
Yeah. More than.
That jabroni.
Who'd he ever beat?
That B-lister. Do you see similarities in what they say about Finn Balor, what they'll probably say, and Daniel Bryan when he won the title and then had to give it up because of injuries?
I hope they don't do that.
Yeah, because I hope Balor doesn't have to retire.
Yeah.
Ever.
Miz is there.
Miz is always there.
He's loved you day in, day out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He loves everything.
The reason that Kevin Owens is the champion, because we all assumed it was going to be Rollins or Reigns.
Yeah.
Had to be one of the two. But no. Kevin Owens, Triple H comes out.
Which is totally worth mentioning, too, that the rumor going around, and apparently there's some validity to it, Kevin Owens did not know the ending to that match. He thought it was going to be Triple H comes out, eliminates Reigns, eliminates him, Rollins with the win. But apparently when Triple H rolled him into the ring and he said, just go with it, and then turned around and pedigrees Seth Rollins.
Normally when a guy rolls you over, no.
Stop
it. Don't do this.
I meant this in the terms of wrestling. Like, I really did. Like, in wrestling, if a wrestler grabs you and says, go with it, it's not good. But yeah. I can see how this is going to be taken way out of context, so I'm not going to make that joke.
You just kind of did.
Thank you for explaining it more.
You explained it, though.
We'll edit it out.
But yeah, so the, so he turned that look of absolute shock and surprise when he turns around and pedigrees Rollins, and Triple H turns around and screams at him to pin him. Just was there. There is, you know, that could have been completely genuine.
That's that same look of all you can eat at the Sizzler that Kevin Owens gets.
Oh, JBL, I'm gonna punch you. It's the Bullfrog Splash Maggle. But he's on SmackDown, and Corey Graves is on Raw.
There is some justice in the world. The worst part about this is that now Triple H is back. Hey, kids.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing.
Did you miss the Triple H?
And everyone is going on about, like, this being the greatest thing ever. Like, it's the greatest angle. He got in Foley's face. Stephanie looks surprised. And to me, I'm just like, great. It's a Triple H handpicked guy who now we're going to have some sort of McMahon family drama because Stephanie wanted Rollins.
No. And you know this is going to lead to a swerve. This is going to lead to a swerve where Triple H, within a month or two, Triple H and Stephanie are going to be running the show again. Just like before. No doubt.
Because Stephanie's doing that over the top, like, face. She's, you know, she's stopped being heel-ish for the most part, other than her interactions with Rollins.
John Stewart.
Yeah. And so I just, I'm
tired of it. I'm tired of Brock Lesnar doing suplexes. I'm tired of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon
being on top. And I'm incredibly, like, I could not be more happy for Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he absolutely deserves to be the flagship champion of a major WWE show.
The runner-up to the MF-er of the week, Vince Russo, and I'm assuming this is why you put Russo on there.
Yeah.
Russo went on this rant and said, Vince Russo, by the way, is the guy that used to book WWF, then he booked WCW.
Into the ground,
and then went to TNA, booked it.
Into the ground. Got so bad that the president, the owners of the network are like, yeah, you can't hire him again. He's the worst. We don't know anything about wrestling except for that.
Except we don't want that.
So then Vince Russo's response to that is to accidentally send his work schedule with TNA to the executive.
Yeah.
Revealing that he had been working with them.
Yeah.
The thing with Russo is whenever he was booking in WWE, it was during the Attitude Era. So whenever he was younger, like whenever he had the WWE job, everybody thought he was a genius.
He also had Vince McMahon
and Jim Ross in his ear at all times.
Yeah.
To filter out his super crazy ideas.
Yes.
Like Judy Bagwell on a forklift match.
David Arquette is champion, who, by the way, you know who David Arquette is?
I've heard the name.
Let's do a pop quiz real quick. Do you know who David Arquette is? Yes or no? Can you picture him?
No.
Do you know who Kevin Owens is?
Yes.
Vince Russo's theory is automatically put under. Because he said that, David Arquette is an actor. Have you ever seen Scream?
Yeah.
Or what's some other stuff? He was the deputy in Scream.
Ready to Rumble.
Yeah.
She ain't seen that.
No.
No, I'm pulling a picture.
That's the only thing that I can immediately think of.
Eight-Legged Freaks he was in.
That's the one. I almost said Evolution, but that wasn't the name of it.
But he was an actor that was doing a movie about wrestling with WCW. And at that time, they thought it'd be a great idea to make him world champion of the company. They made David Arquette, actor, world champion of WCW.
And then tried to make him a legitimate champion when he turned heel. Because he was like, oh no, I'm just an actor. I'm not a wrestler. I can't be. Oh wait, no, I'm going to actually try to.
In his defense, David Arquette was very much against becoming champion. He didn't want it. And he donated all the money he made to Brian Pillman's family.
Yeah. Because that he was an actual fan of wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And much like any other fan of wrestling, like if anyone of us was offered.
Terrible idea.
But if you were offered to be champion for WWE, you would say yes. You know, you don't deserve it.
Heartbeat.
But you'd say yes. And that's what David Arquette did. One more thing. Stephanie McMahon and Heyman. I kind of know this, but I'm gonna let you explain.
Okay. So,
we're gonna run a little bit late on this.
There was a segment on Raw that had Stephanie McMahon in a rage that how could Brock Lesnar put his hands on Shane McMahon? How could he do this at SummerSlam? He has no right. He is the authority of SmackDown. What he did to Randy Orton was barbaric and disgusting, and it will not stand. She's going to address the crowd about these terrible, no good actions. 8 days after it happened, including one show later where they already had Raw. Where she fined Brock Lesnar $500. I'm not even doing it. It doesn't even worth the bit.
Oh, sorry.
Because it's tainted. $500. So she comes out and just starts, you know, oh, he will be punished. Like, this is unacceptable, even though I was totally seemingly fine with it 7 days ago. Paul Heyman comes out, and the crowd is chanting ECW, which she then says, oh, yes, thanks for reminding me. I actually bought ECW.
Yeah.
I bought that from you.
Yeah.
Completely. And like throughout the entire promo just completely emasculates him.
Of course.
Including when he pulls out a giant stack of ones to try to pay Brock Lesnar's fine on his behalf. And it's just, it's gross and I hated it. And she slaps it out of his hand and it's.
Stephanie McMahon number one, everyone else below her.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
And it's just, it was bad and it makes no sense with her. The laughably, even in storyline, like, cause clearly Brock Lesnar was not fined $500.
Right.
No one thinks that's true.
Right.
But that amount is just comedically low when it's not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And like I said, the fact that they already did an episode of Raw where she clearly didn't care.
Yeah.
It makes no
sense. And now all of a sudden, oh, well, I have to care again.
They're flip-flopping characters so quickly. Like with AJ Styles, 1 week, I don't want the Bullet Club. Next week, yeah, we'll be Bullet Club.
See, but I still think that only gets a pass to me because I think they were laying the trap. They knew it was.
It was just a really rushed.
Yeah. It was way too rushed. Like the initial breakup was stupid, but yeah. It made no sense. And again, this is why I'm excited for Kevin Owens, but I don't want to see Triple H back on TV.
Well, let's talk about something exciting. But before we do that, Don, you had something.
The one thing I wanted to say about the $500 fine, and I think I mentioned something about this last week. Chris Jericho had a podcast like a year ago talking about he opened up Batista after the No Blood. Vince McMahon fined Jericho $100,000, Batista $100,000, and the referee $100,000.
That poor ref, he doesn't make that much money.
Batista paid it all because he was the one that said he wanted to get busted open.
Oh.
I think it was $100,000. I could be wrong. It was either $100,000 or $50,000. It was an stupid amount. And I think it was a house show.
Imagine.
So you're going to tell me that the precedent is maybe $300,000 for one cut at a house show, but SummerSlam, the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, is a $500. For one guy.
I'd like to think if you're Batista and they say, okay, $100,000, he just grabs his wallet and throws it at him.
This is my rocket money.
Jericho, hey, $100,000, he grabs one of his golden records and just says, take this.
He just sells like four of his scarves.
Yeah. And then poor like Charles Robinson, hey, $100,000, he's looking at his
second mortgage.
Right, he's like, I can't do it. Let's talk about something fun. There goes the script.
Wow.
And you had something else written too.
No, that was it.
Oh, we had the names of those guys.
Hollis and...
Drop Dead.
Daniel something. I think it's Dale is 100 something. No, it's fine.
Sure
it doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure it was Dale.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I wanted to get their names right because I
We weren't going to call them names that they weren't theirs.
Yeah, because I felt... And so that Drop Dead match, Drop Dead Dale, his match, and all it was Cody yelling, come on, big fella.
Yeah.
At the other guy because like the sound, like the between the music and the crowd, it was really hard to hear the announcer.
Right.
So it's like I was like I.
The, Someone asked, "What's his name?"
Most of the names,
big fella.
Yeah, most of the names that I heard, like, or most of the names that I knew, was only because of they were at the previous show and you guys filled me in.
Right. So here's what we're talking about: Cape Championship Wrestling came back to Cape Girardeau, obviously at the ACE Braze Arena, which, by the way, is where we held the Man Show, me and Hunter, and also some other people probably. Kirby was there, and it went terrible. This went much better. It was their second show. They're a startup federation here in Cape Girardeau. Well, third show technically. No, he's technically right because they did one
Comic-Con.
Oh.
But this was their like homecoming because it was their return to that place. And it's an upstart federation here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is where we film Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's where we're all from. So we're super excited about it. We went to the show before, myself, Allie, and Tanner. Had a good time.
I had to work.
You had to work.
I was at work too, yeah.
And I want to point out again, and I said this to Hunter, it was a good time. It wasn't a great time. I thought for an indie fed, this was fun. Some of the interactions were good. Crowd was dead. Nobody knew anything. They didn't know these guys, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
This show was different. And Allie, I wish you could have been there because I think you would have had fun. Allie could not make
this show. Yeah, I had a, like, this show was great.
It was me, Asa, Dalton, Cody, Tanner, and Tanner's friend.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just phenomenal. Like, the crowd was so energetic. People were on their feet the whole time. The wrestlers did a great job. Personal favorite, Sexy Sarge, as always. Ace is sporting the Sexy Sarge shirt, which we bought from Sexy Sarge. And by the way, I offered Sexy Sarge $1. No, it was his idea.
Yeah.
And he said for $1, he would show Ace his thong.
Which he had on under his wrestling trunks.
Which, of course, I immediately handed him $1. he pulled his shorts down and showed his bare buttocks to Asa. And then I handed him $1, but I couldn't just hand it to him. He opened up his shorts and I had to put it down him. And it was amazing.
And the best part of that is, so this event was, and for anyone who's, we absolutely recommend going to the next one.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a great time. But
September 24th.
If you want to purchase merchandise, bring cash.
Yes.
Because we didn't know everything was cash only. And not only that, but there were no ATMs in the AC Braze building. So I wanted a Sexy Sarge shirt. I only had $6. Shannon lent me $3, but he's like, oh man, that only puts us at $9. And Sexy Sarge, you magnificent bastard, was like, well, tell you what, that dollar, that you can use that dollar towards the shirt if you want.
Because I wanted to buy Allie a Sexy Sarge shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And sure you did.
I did. That's why I went up
to
him.
Are you not jealous?
I'm super jealous.
She's jealous. Don't get us wrong.
Paint.
You can wear that. You can wear this to work.
I recommend it.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Okay.
But yeah, the show was absolutely amazing. It was a lot of fun. The guys that I thought nobody really knew last time, everybody was talking about. I mean, everybody got a great reaction. Not so much when they came out, because it's still one of those things that because it's indie.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guys here, a lot of the people in Cape may not have known them. They come out to a very quiet reaction generally, but the real love that I have for indie wrestling is during the matches, because we were chanting at the wrestlers. We were talking with the wrestlers. We were chanting at Jeff O'Dell, who was the manager of the Pinnacle, the
just most vile batch of villains.
Yes. And they would respond to you. They would acknowledge you.
Oh.
We started a Durden's Gonna Kill You at Jake Durden, who was wrestling Brandon Barbwire in the semi-main event. And Asa, tell them, because it's so good.
This is my favorite. So we start the Durden's Gonna Kill You.
Which, by the way, Dalton, was my idea.
It was.
That's fine.
So we start it, but the rest of the arena picks up on it. Like, it's not, so even though, like, we were the loudest people there.
Oh, by far.
Minus maybe the army of small children that kept chanting
RKO.
Oh, my
God.
But the rest of the arena, like, kind of picked up on it and went with it. And once it died down, Barbed Wire was in the corner, and Durden looks at him and just points, I'm gonna kill you.
Which we all erupt.
Because it's like, I acknowledge the thing that we did. and just the smack talking with O'Dell.
Yeah.
The entire time. The
Billy
best
Hay, of, Billy Hills, farmer Billy Hills, who's just a treat.
Buy
by
my
the way.
Merch. I'm not gonna buy his merch.
I disliked him so much, sort of, in the first show, Allie, when we went to, because he came out with the rebel flag.
Yeah.
And as we found out later, it was the first time he'd ever done a heel.
Second
time he'd ever done a heel, and was still finding his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he must have found it really quick, because he did such a good job.
Yeah, he's so over the top. And
him,
like,
and Sarah both were just phenomenal.
They were great. But yeah, the best one being, so after we have given Odell, cause we're in the second row and like right by the entrance ramp.
Yes.
So like we're getting them right as they're coming in, and Odell, that's kind of where he stationed himself during the matches on that side. And we've been on him like all night.
Oh, yeah.
So like one of the last
Cody
times.
Cody especially, by the way. Cody had to have been going hoarse from the amount of yelling he was doing. He was nonstop.
But that was the best one, because he yells at Odell like, hey, you having a good night? And Odell turns and he wants to say something, but he just like, and he throws his arms up in frustration and walks away.
Cody said that? I said that.
Was it you? Yeah. I thought it was Cody.
No, it was me.
Oh.
No, Cody was the one that got shut down, because he kept changing his shirt between matches. So I yelled at one point, Odell, did you rob a Macy's? Mm-hmm. And he kind of looked at me and didn't acknowledge me. And then Cody was like, hey, did your dad tie that for you? And then Odell shuts us all down because he said, hey, did your dad tie you that for you? And then Odell said, no, your mom did, and let her know I'll see her tonight. And then we were all like, and we're done.
At which point, like, I didn't hear that because I think Cody whispered something to me and I was saying something to him. Mm-hmm. So I just heard everybody go, oh, and I was like, oh, I think he burned you. I think he burned you. Cody took it
so
well.
I thought Cody was the one that yelled.
No. I yelled at Odell.
That was
my favorite. That and when Sexy Sarge came out. Yeah. And he's flipping people off and he's being true heel. Mm-hmm. But then he saw me and he gives me thumbs up.
Because you're cheering him.
Of course.
And you're friends with him on Facebook now, so he knew who you were.
At the intermission, I walked up to him and he smiled at me and he was like, you son of a bitch, I knew you were out there. And I was like, oh, I love you so much.
I told Ivan, because at the end of that match, he got attacked by Drop Dead Dale. He got kicked out of the Pinnacle, even though it was Odell's fault that he lost that match.
Awful manager.
And so, and he talked about how he turned his back on the fans and he's not going to do it anymore, and really kind of a heartfelt moment. And so,
hey, so you literally said, I've changed my mind.
I take back everything I said about you.
Which I am still have it, because I have to cheer a guy whose gimmick is porn star dancing.
Correction. You get to.
I'm sorry. Do you not love Joey Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. His gimmick isn't porn star dancing.
He's no, just it's
a
strong of dong style.
Strong of dong.
God.
I like the word
in you. I'm so tired. Strong of dong.
Oh, I hope that's his next gimmick.
Strong of dong.
I mean, he kind of already is. Yeah. He's the king of dong style.
The matches were really good.
Yeah, the matches were amazing.
And it really surprised me because the one thing that I thought the last show really lacked was really good wrestling. Because it was very punch, basic type stuff. Mm-hmm. But this time there was more of a story to it. There were the characters were more fleshed out and the wrestling was better. From top to bottom, it was a good show. Like, I seriously had more fun at this show.
I wish I could remember his first name, but that Hollis guy that interrupted that had the match with Sarge.
Black Stone Cold.
Hollis.
That's what we called him last time.
No, it's Hollis.
That's fine. That's what you called him last time, but that's not what his name is. it was Hollis, but I can't remember his first name.
I met him last time too. He was walking around in the middle of the show because I think Allie, you went to the bathroom, or were you with me?
No,
when I met
was
him?
With you.
I walk up to him and I'm just like, hey man, you did a great job out there tonight. And he was so quiet and friendly. He was like, oh, thanks man.
Yeah. Like,
he
whenever,
signed it for me. Yeah.
Cause I owe Cody $5 because he had a 10 and I had no cash, but we each, I have a signed print of his now.
Oh, awesome.
And he was just like real humble, like real excited that we dug his stuff and.
It really did. Like, we're not just saying this because we have a personal interest in this, because Hunter obviously used to be here with Pro Wrestling Unscripted with us. He's now the GM of the show. Mm-hmm. But even if Hunter weren't doing it, it would still be an amazing show.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so much fun to go out and see these guys live and to interact with them.
And like you said, they do a really good job of, because no one really knows, aside from like, okay, so here's the Pinnacle guys. So we recognize them as being the heel figures. But like some of those other matches where it's like, okay, we'll kind of react. So they really have to do their character work for their entrance and in the ring.
And they did.
And they do it. They did a great, the Tony Kozima.
Yeah.
Like that first match was real entertaining.
Yeah, 'cause I remember the guys walked out and we all thought, oh, they don't look like they're going to do well. And then they did. They did
awesome.
He did funny stuff.
Yeah. But it was also, they did a good job of establishing who was the heel, who was the face in the ring.
Right.
So while we don't really recognize who they are coming out,
well,
it
same,
settles it.
Same thing with Drop Dead of
Dale and then Big Fella, because Big Fella came out in a Deadpool shirt.
And Big Fella came out and the first thing he said was like, why aren't y'all cheering me?
Yeah.
Like, and because my reaction to that was, I don't know if we're supposed to.
Right.
And quick moment. The reason we're calling him Big Fella is, again, we couldn't hear the name that was announced over the music in the crowd.
Cody just kept yelling,
come on, Big Fella. And he wasn't that much bigger than Drop Dead Dale.
In fact, I think he was smaller. Honestly. But the reason I'm saying we're saying all this right now is because we're about to talk about Ricochet. But we want to point out that Ricochet was the main event draw for this.
Right.
And it was absolutely amazing to see Ricochet live. But do not let that take away from what these guys did, because Championship Wrestling is built around these guys.
I'll tell you what right now, Dirty Jake Durden, immediately like, I can't wait to see more of him, and I really think he could be a big deal.
Sexy Sarge, I know it's a gimmick that's probably never going to go into the majors.
Right.
But to me, Sarge O'Reilly.
But he's clearly having so much fun with it.
He is the most fun part of that show for me.
And
from his entrance to the way he talks, the way he looks.
Yeah.
That dude is on fire.
And then everything I've said since the show is, Austin Lane better have that belt. Austin Lane, was amazing.
They're doing a great job between Brandon Barbwire, Hunter Hendricks, Austin Lane. They're doing this angle of talking smack on Facebook and really setting up this next match, because the next month at September 24th, they're going back to Osage Center.
Yes.
And it was originally supposed to be Too Tough Tony from JCW wrestling Barbwire for the title.
I'm really big into indie wrestling. What's JCW?
Junior Championship Wrestling, I think it's called.
It's Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Officer Colt Cabana.
I'm not a big fan of Too Tough Tony or Juggalo Championship Wrestling or Juggalos, but not all Juggalos. I've met a few that I like. I've only met a few. Huh. Maybe they're not so bad. But I wasn't really excited to see Too Tough Tony wrestle. I'm more excited for Austin Lane, because here's what I don't want. I don't want them to constantly bring in outsiders that they're going to bring in as main event attractions to wrestle for the belt and never have a storyline.
Which
you can't have Too Tough Tony come in for 1 month and then go away, and then another guy come in for 1 month and go away.
And to be fair, like, they kept it out of the way that they did it, I think, is the best way you could do it, because you have Austin Lane, who wrestled Ricochet in an amazing match.
Absolutely.
Like, not just like good for an indie show, not just good for a house show, a good match.
You literally told me, does he know he's in Cape Girardeau?
Yeah. I leaned over and, because both of them, but Ricochet especially, because Ricochet is a huge name in his own right. Like, he went above and beyond what I expected to see, especially at this tiny little house show in Cape Girardeau.
Because I leaned over to you and I was like, I can't believe he's doing
all this. He did the dive off over the, like, out of sight of the ring onto just
a gym floor.
There's no padding. There was no mat. It was just a gym floor. Austin Lane lost to Ricochet. Pinnacle came out and put the beat down on him. Ricochet.
Because the storyline is that Brandon Barbwire wants to be the main event. He's the champion. He deserves it.
Exactly.
And he has a point. He deserves to be in the main event. Right. He's the main guy. So Hunter Hendricks, after Ricochet and Austin Lane team up to beat up the Pinnacle, this is your main event, pal. This is what you wanted.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense, too, because Austin Lane cuts a promo saying that I just took Ricochet to the limit, and he did. Like, it was a very, it was not the match I was expecting to see.
No.
Like, I was genuinely expecting Ricochet to just kind of steamroll over someone, do some flips, do some tricks, like, cool. But no, it was a competitive back and forth match that was a great match. I was able to do this with him. I can beat you for the title.
Right.
So I like the way that that's kind of what it feels like to me. It
makes absolutely more sense than having Too Tough Tony come in for no reason, no storyline, just to wrestle.
Just for a match.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about next, September 24th. Mm-hmm. And again, if you get a chance to go see Cape Championship Wrestling, do it. It's so much fun. It's a great time.
We'll be there.
There were so many little things that I loved. Jeff O'Dell changing shirts in between matches.
Yep.
It's one of those little things.
Yeah.
That makes it. Mm-hmm. Farmer Billy Hills wearing Jake Durden's,
jacket on the way out.
And kind of prancing around in it, you know?
Someone singing Fat Guy in a Little.
That was Tanner's friend. That was so Tanner's good. Friend.
Oh, God.
These
guys are phenomenal.
That was one of the, like, that was such a great time. Like, I was legitimately surprised.
I've never seen you that happy before, because I've seen this watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. I've never seen you that happy to watch wrestling before in my life.
Oh yeah. Because it's like because I didn't have to sit there and know that, okay, well, this is going to end up real stupid because
here's the smallest.
It's a 70-year-old billionaire who doesn't have any idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
I think Dalton might counter that just because, like, he was at the house show with me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a lot of fun too, because I could kind of separate that. But I had an absolute blast.
And here's the thing.
It's the interaction to me. The interaction between the wrestlers and
that
the fans.
That intimacy, just being in that second row, I really think we should try to get front row seats.
I agree.
Because I want to be able to just, like, make eye contact with Odell as I tell him that Macy's has a great sale going on.
I want the Podzilla 1985 section.
Yeah.
There. I want us to have our own little section, because, hell, we're stars.
I genuinely thought of, I can't remember what it was now. It'll come back to me by then, but I kind of want to make signs. /pay Allie to make signs.
No.
No?
Signs at a house show? I can't. In good conscience, I can't. Because we'll be the only ones.
I don't care.
That's
fine. We were the only ones chanting.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like,
at first.
Yeah. Nah.
There was an old woman behind me.
Who was yelling greatest things. God, she was so like...
He should be ashamed with his daughter or with his sister.
That was after our amazing chant.
That
was the greatest moment of just the loudest "That's your sister" to Farmer Billy Hills and his wife Sarah.
And I want to say thank you and congratulations to Ken Murphy, Jason the Brain is how I know him because that's how he is on Facebook for me, and Lee Montgomery and all those guys that are doing this, and Hunter for being GM because they do a great job. All the wrestlers. I mean, seriously, we had a blast. We want you guys to know it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing this.
Super here in looking forward to the next one.
We will promote the hell out of it.
I was so, yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Cause like, I'll be completely honest, like going into it, especially after like some of the stuff you talked about, like maybe that first event, I was a little bit skeptical going in. I was super excited to see Ricochet and see Hunter too.
Yeah.
But literally just, I could not have been more blown away by every single person there.
Allie, I really hope you can go to the next one with us.
I hope so too.
I really hope so. Cause I really missed you there. I thought you would have had such a blast. Instead, I had to sit next to Cody, who was just
and
yelling
me.
And you were both like, you were both just like nonstop.
I felt so bad because my voice was dead by the Ricochet match.
Same.
Like I had
Cody was like nudging me. He was like trying to start chanting. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, no. I got on Overwatch the night, and even Jesse was like, "You sound a little rough." And I'm like, that's what it is. Yeah.
And I will say, we were being funny, but we weren't being like the
we weren't
cute.
Being rude.
We weren't being like the biker dude who tried to like walk up to the barrier and actually
and
try to start something.
Yeah. Or the smart fans who were like. Like when we went to the show for WWE with Logan and Jordan, and Logan was chanting Albert at A-Train.
Yeah.
Like we weren't trying to be dicks.
Yeah.
We were enjoying the show.
Yeah. We were
cheering. We were playing our part.
Yes. Yeah. We were playing the part of the fan. We booed the bad guys, even though we didn't want to.
No.
We booed the bad guys. We cheered the good guys.
We were trying
to be part of the show.
I didn't buy a piece of Farmer Billy's merch.
I can confirm because we didn't have cash.
Yeah.
And like I said, September 24th, they're coming back. It's looking like, almost like Nathan Lane, Austin Lane versus Brandon Barbed Wire for that CCW title.
Well, it's a number one contender.
I have a special announcement.
Oh,
that I didn't tell you guys about.
How dare you?
Do we have an exclusive?
We have an exclusive right here on Podzilla 1985. I spoke to the GM of Cape Championship Wrestling,
close
Hunter
personal
Hendricks,
friend,
close personal
local
friend,
local celebrity,
global celebrity soon enough. And he sent me a statement about CCW that he wants me to read here on Podzilla 1985. So this is exclusive from Hunter Hendricks, the GM of CCW.
Now, Hunter Hendricks, the GM, is the one who wrote this, much like Dalton is the one who wrote his apology.
This time for real.
Okay.
Yeah, this is actually from Hunter. All right, and I quote, because I'm Michael Cole.
I was getting raised like, oh, you're doing the anonymous GM bit, and I'm about to cry.
In his first defense of the CCW championship, Brandon Barbed Wire managed to successfully retain his title over Jake Durden. Of course, he only managed to do so through liberal use of referee distractions, courtesy of Jeff O'Dell, and foreign objects. But nevertheless, Brandon is still the CCW champion. And you can really feel the hatred in him saying that because they really don't like each other. His scheduled opponent for September 24th, Too Tough Tony, unfortunately had to cancel his appearance, but when one door closes, another opens. Austin Lane requested a chance to become the number one contender through a no disqualification non-title match against Brandon, and after Austin's incredible performance against Ricochet at Homecoming, he earned that opportunity. And so our main event when we return to the Osage Center will indeed be the best of the best against the Pinnacle's crown jewel, and the referee will only be here to count a pinfall or accept submission. I'm certain Brandon thinks the lack of disqualification is in his favor, but it would serve him well to remember that Austin requested this stipulation, and I'm certain he has his reasons. We'll see on September 24th, and we'll see if Austin will be next in line for a shot at the Cape Championship Wrestling title.
I'm excited to see that match.
I'm excited to see
too.
That.
Because I was super impressed with Austin Lane. I was super impressed with Brandon Barbed Wire.
Absolutely. But let's throw this out there real quick. And if Brandon Barbed Wire is listening, this is to him specifically. I notice he likes to pick on Hunter Hendricks and push him around because he's a little guy. The little guy from Real Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hunter Hendricks has some very big friends. Myself included, and Tanner, and the Podzilla 1985 crew and the Pro Wrestling Unscripted crew, Asa Gray and Dalton Anthony.
Well, wait a minute. We're not the big friends.
The two of us could probably take out Odell.
You put Ace Gray.
I'll mess that tie up, Odell.
Put Ace Gray on Dalton Anthony's shoulders, and you got a contender.
I will ruffle his hair.
me and Tanner and the rest of the gang will be in attendance. And if they want to keep pushing Hunter Hendricks around, and he needs a friend, you better believe Podzilla 1985 is going to be there to have his back, because that is our guy. He was with us first, and we still have his back.
Hey, so that mat doesn't look fun. You just want them two to take it?
No, I'm in.
He's in.
I'm in.
Like the guy from Mortal Kombat.
It's all right,
you're right on my shoulder, and I'll throw you
Ferator.
Yeah.
I'll be y'all's Odell.
It's Enzo Cass.
You get Odell.
Yeah. I have a bunch of shirts.
Yeah, like, outshirt him.
All right, yeah, I'll outshirt him.
I'll shirt the hell out of him. So that's, that's to you, Brandon Barbwire, and to the rest of the Pinnacle, just so you know. Just putting you on notice. Just want to do that for my old
Can we call ourselves the Plateau?
We cannot. That is all for Pro Wrestling Unscripted tonight. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for Tanner Thursday. We have some more important things to talk about. And Asa, take us out.
Durden's gonna kill you.